The crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Exhale. Oh my goodness, what a comeback. What a game. What a flip of the script. Oh, just you could feel the tension off your shoulders, off your back. The high blood pressure. Everything that this series was building up to, and especially in the first three innings of this game, the Brewers down 8-0, heading to the bottom of the third inning. They got one run back, then they got two runs back, then they got another run back, then they scored two more. Like, oh, wait a minute. They're not us. But then the Diamondbacks scored one back, so they're up 9-6. And then the four-run bottom of the eighth inning, just put it in play. And the Brewers, another note that we've talked about before throughout games this season, the Brewers scored 10 runs today without the benefit of a home run. They have the best record in baseball when they don't hit a home run. Figures, right? They hit three home runs on Friday night against Zach Gallen. Don't win that game. They don't hit a home run today and score 10 runs and break out of their offensive funk that they've been in to get the finale of this four-game series. Are things perfect? No. Are things better? Yes. We'll explain why all of that coming up with Craig Kishon. I'm Dom Catronio. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620. You know, the thing, when it was 8-0 in the third, and I was sitting in the booth just thinking to myself, like, oh, man. You know, I'm always the glass half full guy. I'm always a positive sort of person. And, you know, it's sometimes it can be difficult to be that person. I'm sitting here like, man, where are the positives? If this is the final score, if the Diamondbacks keep adding on, like, what are the positives I can draw out of this to that point in the game? And it's like, well, you know, let's see what the bullpen can do here. Maybe they can just keep things interesting. And we'll talk about unsung heroes in this game because this was a team effort top to bottom. The number one unsung hero of this game, and really the hero of the game, I don't think it should be unsung in any regard, is the bullpen. And what they were able to do today to pitch like it was a 0-0 game, not like it was an 8-0 game, and then slowly work their way in, as Craig Kishon joins us here. I know Frankie struggled. I know the offense wasn't pretty the first half of this game. But man, I'm not even going to call him unsung. This bullpen today was the hero of the game. We can talk about Reese, we can talk about Jake, we can talk about the offense, but the bullpen is the reason why the Brewers had a chance to win this game.
Really, any more runs, even though, you know, they got that extra ninth run late in the game, Dom. But I mean, I think it also just goes along of the definition of what kind of a comeback this was and how many guys it took. This was such a collective effort. It was really unbelievable. The last time they did something like this was 20 years ago, and it was 2004. And I can't even remember where that was or why that was, Dom, but that wasn't a very good team back in 2004. So compared to this one and what they've accomplished, and the time of year as well, the bullpen was absolutely phenomenal. And I think that's one of the better storylines, that, you know, you don't have this comeback or whatever, and it's kind of single-handedly one person had the biggest, you know, hero efforts for it. It's just all the way up and down. And the bullpen, each one of these guys did exactly – remember yesterday when I said comeback on Sunday and everybody just understand what you need to do and accept your role – and be as good at it as you can. I think to a man in this bullpen today, that's exactly what each one of these guys delivered.
One of the number one performance I want to point out in this bullpen is D.L. Hall's performance, because Ashby's been doing great. Piamps has been on fire. I know Kana gave up a run, and I think he's just been overused as of late. Devin leaves a man stranded in the ninth. But D.L. Hall, this is likely going to be his role in a postseason. Multiple batters, maybe multiple innings. But that inning got off on the wrong foot, setting the scene in the fifth inning with the score. The Brewers had just scored in the fourth inning. It's just kind of be lingering. It was 8-3 heading to the bottom or the top of the fifth inning. And first batter, catcher's interference. Strikeout, then 11-pitch walk to Herrera. You're thinking, oh boy, they're going to do this again, aren't they? Diamondbacks going to add on and try to snap out of it. Nope. D.L. Hall retired the next five batters in a row, including a switch-hitting better side, right side. Ketel Marte struck out Jock Peterson. He got the top of the order. I mean, this was a game that I saw from the Brewers that, especially D.L. Hall, to get him right and to find strength in this new role gave the Brewers some mojo because they got some base runners every inning the rest of the way, and I think that's like an unsung performance we need to make sure we point out.
Yeah, no, it's a really good point, and he absolutely needed that, and the team also knew that he needed that as well. I think you may have asked one of the questions the other day to Murph pregame, Dom, just about where D.L. Hall is. You know, maybe a shaky outing or two here in a row, and I think, you know, Murph made a good point of pointing out mechanically he hasn't been real happy with what he's seen out of D.L. Hall, and maybe some pitch selection as well. And I think this organization doesn't mess around with any of these guys when it comes to sticking with the game plan. And you know, in between his outings here in the last couple of days, they figured out a way to get everything right because he looked incredibly sharp. And to basically complete a turn through the lineup in the two innings that he was out there and come away with the, you know, the results that he did with a little bit of traffic on, as you mentioned, in that fifth inning. We're going to see if we continue to see this when it's postseason time. That is beautiful stuff for him.
I mean, I think the biggest thing we pull from this game, yes, they came back. Yes, the offense did just enough. This team leans on its bullpen and relies on its bullpen and will rely on its bullpen more than anybody else in the postseason. Meaning, you know, whoever, let's say it's Freddie in game one. Hey, Freddie, all we need you to do is go two times through the order. Then they're going to hand it to a likes of Hall or to Ashby, whatever, in game one. If it's Frankie in game two, hey, Frankie, we only need you to go two times through the order. Then we'll hand it to, you know, Jared Koenig and maybe Brian Hudson and then Joe Ross, right? So this is how they're going to try to win games in the postseason, not get down 8-0, but leaning on the bullpen to face leverage innings. I mean, they allowed one run. Even that run, you can argue, shouldn't have scored because of a missed strikeout call. But nonetheless, this team is built for bullpen leverage and bullpen keeping this team in the game. We'll talk about the offense in the next segment, but the bullpen, I think, just needs to be highlighted for what they did tonight.
Well, it gives you what they can do and have been doing all season long, you know, gives you a couple of things. It allows you, if for some reason you do fall behind early in a game, a postseason game, hopefully not 8-0, but when you do turn that ball over and you're telling them we can't give up anymore, this is just how this game's going to go, then we could see something like that again. And then the other way, if it's a 1-0 game, a 2-0 game, a 2-1 game, whether you're up or down, you're going to rely on them the same way. That's what makes this bullpen great. That's what makes this bullpen, you know, so successful in its entirety all season. And yes, some of the names have changed along the way, but I think we know who's going to get these big opportunities in the postseason, whether this team is up or down here. What a job. I mean, this became an emotional game, and there, you know, sometimes sports just turns out to be that way, but this was an emotional game. And I mentioned this on our TV side, Dom. I'm not sure how many times this late in the season, after somebody clinches a division with 9 or 10 games yet to go in the regular season, you circle one on the calendar because it's usually not necessary, but this might be one of those.
Yeah, I agree. This was a big one for the crew. Before we get to break, I want to get to the phone lines, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Jonathan, driving home from the game. Jonathan, you're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, Dom, how's it going?
We're great. Better now, man.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, that third inning was rough. But, you know, just reflecting on this week and what we've seen from the Brewers and last Sunday against the Diamondbacks, you know, it's crazy that ending up in the same situation and whatnot. But how fortunate is this team that a 5-0 deficit will not will not get the best of them. How fortunate is this team that an 8-0 deficit will not knock this team down? And, you know, Jake Bowers being the backup first baseman, being the hero on both of the big nights this week, there's a lot to look forward to in this team. And, you know, I like what you and Craig have been talking about, the respect for this bullpen to be able to pick up Frankie Montas like that. And everyone wants to talk offense, and we saw that late in the game. But the bullpen, middle through the order, getting rid of any other threats from the D-backs, and wow, what a game, and a privilege to be a part of it.
Yeah, that was. Thanks for being there in the crowd for there, Jonathan. Appreciate the call. And we'll talk about the offense, but I think my favorite line from today's postgame, Craig, and we'll talk about Willie specifically next, is Pat Murphy revealed in the postgame press conference today that he offered Willie the chance to come out of the game in the fifth inning. At the time, it was 8-3, you know, trying to give him a little bit of a breather, and they obviously pulled William early from this game. But Willie said, no, we still got a chance. And what Jonathan's talking about there and what Willie believes, no, we still got a chance. He was right. They win 10-9.
I love that because I hope the whole dang dugout heard that from Willie, and I hope they heard the question from Murph, do you want to come out? Because, you know, sometimes Murph is going to challenge these guys, and he knows which ones to challenge because it sets the tone for everybody else. It's a great learning experience for everybody else. If your leader says, maybe I'll come out. I mean, it's 8-3. You know, I need a blow again. I had one the other day, too. I've been playing all year. I want to get ready for the playoffs. He's like, screw that. Let's go, baby. Let's get this thing done. And if it's your leader doing that and the leader of everybody else, your manager proposing that out there, what a great learning lesson for everybody else.
It was fantastic to watch. All right, we'll talk about the offense coming up next. Brewers win 10-9, one of the best comeback wins in franchise history here on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Okay, Brewers get the win 10-9 over the Diamondbacks. It wasn't a pretty series, really, for the first 3.5 games, and then the last half of this game, the second act of this game, was fantastic. Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank. National Association, member FDIC. Craig Kishon and Dom Catronio with you here. Let's talk a little bit of offense now, shall we, as the Brewers, they scored 10 runs in the final 7 frames of this game, really 6 frames for them since they didn't have a bottom of the ninth, Craig. 4 runs in the bottom of the eighth. And I think the way we have to start with that eighth inning is where the rally began, with 2 outs and nobody on base. A walk from the leadoff man, Jackson Churio. I thought that was an extremely mature at bat. He took an off-speed pitch down and away from the lefty Joe Mantiply, just kept the line moving, because remember, the Brewers entered that frame down 3 runs, and 2 out walks, man, there are 2 types of walks you just can't have. Leadoff walks and 2 out walks. And the Brewers, boy, did they ever cash it in.
It's really something to see this guy do just about everything right, it seems like. You know, the big hits that he has come through in, you know, the last couple of months, even this month of September, he had a great August. We know he's had a great June, July, August, now here into September. But just the role he's taken on now, being really it's going to be the, you know, his at the top of the order, it looks like from this point forward, because he had 3 more hits today, had an RBI, and to just have the discipline. I mean, we saw it in his first major league at bat. He drew a walk on opening day in a spot at the top of the order where I don't think many people predicted he would be on opening day, but there he was. And he's just had that type of demeanor, and we've seen it all season long, and it's only gotten better. And he understands the game so well, Dom. He's like, I know what's going on here. We still have an out left, and we're going to make the most of it, and I'm going to help right now.
Four of the five base runners in that inning reached with two strikes. So essentially, the Brewers were one strike away from, you know, that inning ending and fizzling out, including Cheerios' walk, Perkins' clean single through the left side. That should not be unnoticed. Then they switched to Martinez, the flamethrower, and in fact, Reese fell behind 0-2 on him quickly. And we talked about it the other night. I mean, Justin, I called him a creator reliever. I mean, it's like, all right, you want to throw 100? Sure. You want to have an elite splitter? Sure. Oh, by the way, he's got a slider too? Sure. And to fall behind 0-2 on that guy, I mean, you've had a quiet game to this point. I know he had the RBI double in the seventh, but it's like, look, no one would say, oh my gosh, Reese should have got a hit there. Like, oh my God. Like, that was a really tough at bat for him as Martinez was going for the four out save. And what I thought was the veteran experience came through, because there's an old adage in baseball, Craig, and I know you know this, where as a reliever, a high leverage reliever comes in, if he throws it as his first pitch, that means he wants to throw it as his last pitch. That was taught to me by a coach from mine years ago, meaning he opened that count with a first pitch slider. The second pitch was the splitter. So the thought is, okay, well, the slider is actually his third worst pitch, probably his third pitch when it comes to righties. The splitter is the pitch he really wants to use against righties. So the fact that he used it to get ahead 0-2 indicated to me he wanted to go back to that splitter. Reese knew that too, just got enough wood on it, stayed down on the pitch, never gave up on it, and just poked a little stoink in the shallow right center to get the job done.
Isn't it great to be in a situation where that's really well explained, Dom, and to have a guy that like Reese Hoskins up there who knows that. I mean, the Brewers are down one of the best players in baseball in Christian Yelich, and they need to rely on Reese Hoskins. And I said this on the air during our post game as well. He has had some tough moments and some tough at bats where he has not been able to come through, but those usually are earlier in games. It's the late heroics that this guy just understands, and it's clutch. He doesn't want to be the hero. He just wants to win, and he's been disciplined enough throughout his career. To have him up there, you do feel a different sense of confidence than you do with some of the younger kids. I mean, let's face it, that's just how it is, but he's earned that, and to have him finish really, really strong here today, great at bat, just a tremendous situation to be able to tie that game. This was really something to see for sure.
855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Couple of texts here as we move on, talk more about offense. Caleb in Maryland, great to see the offense come around after a lackluster month. If it carries into the postseason, this team will be extremely dangerous. Doug, after all the talk about who would start the first playoff game, looks like it could be Peralta after all. Now go and win it. We'll talk about that later on this week once it all becomes clear. This one from Nick, the offense matched the undaunted motto today for sure, and give credit to Devin after going 1-2-3 after that leadoff walk. Great day to be a Wisconsin sports fan. So aside from that eighth inning, and then ultimately a double by Adames, and maybe some folks were like, oh, you got to run for Reese there. You got to run for Reese there. Well, I think the Brewers were hedging at the fact that this game could go to extras. They hadn't taken the lead yet, and if he had gotten to second base, maybe then they would have ran for him. Little did they know that Adames would pull a double into the corner, and Reese just not fast enough to score. But Jake Bowers would have been the guy running for Hoskins, and then he gets the game-winning hit, just a little schnub up the third base side. Just like, of course, this is what the Diamondbacks have been doing all week to the Brewers, in addition to the home runs. Just put the ball in play and good things happen. Put the ball in play and good things happen. And we talked about it coming into this series, Craig. The lack of walks, the lack of base runners, the amount of strikeouts they had. Well, today looked a lot more like a Brewers game. 9 strikeouts, but 4 more walks on top of that. Oh, by the way, they had 16 hits, a lot less swing and miss today against the Diamondbacks pitching staff.
Yeah, and 15 of those 16 hits were after the third inning. Pretty close anyway. But they, I think the thing about this, this team as well, Dom, you know, you look at them being down, you know, a couple of points you make just about, you know, the comeback and whatnot, and what Reese is able to do, here we go. I mean, I just say, You look at what this team is capable of doing. They got back to that a little bit. It took them a while here in this game. But they also had several doubles in this game that finally went off, you know, a Diamondback outfielder's glove, maybe bounced on the warning track and went over the wall. You still score a run. Those little breaks that they didn't really seem to get in the first three games of the series. And then, you know, the swinging bunt to put the team ahead by Bowers in that 10th inning. So baseball swings around, and when you're good, losing streaks don't last very long. And once again, they avoided what would have been a first four-game losing streak, the only team in baseball to have only a three-game losing streak several times, but not long losing streaks. And long losing streaks can take you out of a pennant race.
I agree entirely. I thought the biggest takeaway for me from this team today is a friend of mine, and what they do is they play a little game called lingering and loitering, right? In regards to, like, all right, are you just lingering? Are you just hanging around? Are you in this game right now? Or are you just kind of going through the motions? Or are you loitering? Or are you like, okay, I'm here with intentions. I'm here trying to come back. I'm here trying to make something happen. And the middle portion of this game, the Brewers were lingering. Like when Willie was offered to come out of the game, when it was 8-3, they were just lingering. But then all of a sudden, in that seventh inning, the leadoff single by Garrett Mitchell, who we'll talk about him in the next segment. Garrett Mitchell leadoff single, steals second base. All of a sudden, they were loitering, and then they got the job done. It's a psychological examination. Can you keep yourself in it when you're down 8-0 in the third? Because it's better to be down 8-0 in the third than it is to be down 8-0 in the eighth inning. And they just got a little bit. They weren't going to get a 7-run inning. I mean, they could have, but they weren't asking for a 7-run inning. They were handing the bat, as Pat Murphy preaches over and over, meeting the game halfway. And you can see a lot of at-bats that, quote-unquote, met the game halfway.
Yep, indeed. And, you know, the other thing, too, about that, Dom, is when you just look up and down this lineup, too, and it's not just today's lineup. It's just how it's been constructed, because that's the way the roster has been built. You got a lot of hungry young guys on this team that are here because they've made good impressions and they've worked hard, and now they want to win. They've tasted winning the entire season with this team going nearly wire to wire with this division title. They've tasted a lot of things, from, you know, overcoming adversity with the injuries, you name it, losing, you know, your star pitchers, your star players. It's such a great mix of having really young guys, and Ortiz and Frelick. We keep mentioning their names throughout this one. Perkins getting another start here today. He came through with a couple of big hits. We talked about Churio in the eighth inning, the two-out walk to get that big inning going. And then you throw in the veteran guys, and Hoskins really capping it off, and Adames' big day as well. So this is a good mix here. This is a team that really could do some serious damage here, hopefully starting next week.
And we'll talk about the mojo and what this meant for the team into this final week of the regular season. And we'll play that game that everybody wants to play. Who do you want to play in the wild card round? Who do you want? We'll talk about that coming up next. 855-616-1620 here on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers responded to some adversity and salvaged the finale against the Diamondbacks. I'm Dom Catronio. 10-9. What a comeback win. Craig Kishon is with us for one more segment here. A couple of things that jumped out to me, too, and this is pointed out by one texter in the 414, you know, Pat Murphy referring to the fans booing after the third inning, and he thought the guys weren't going to take that, and they took it upon themselves to win. We'll hear from Pat Murphy a little bit later. I know we've talked a lot about the fans, and Murph himself has talked a lot about the fans in the past week or so, with 35,000 in the house again today. And to, you know, he was like, yeah, they had every right to boo us there being down, and I asked them to come out here. And then the Brewers responded. And I thought the other thing that Murph said that was very interesting is that this team just realized they can't take their foot off the gas pedal. And we talked about them being caught in the clutch yesterday of not knowing what to do next. And, oh, God, I'm stuck in between gears. And, all right, just put it in sixth gear and run, man, because that's the only way to keep going. And if you want to keep playing October, I had Eric Haas on earlier today on the pregame show. It's like these kids are learning that, hey, it's just one more month, man. It's just one more month, and it's all going to be worth it. And we saw signs of that finally here today.
Yeah, I agree for sure about that. And, you know, this is what probably the younger players needed to see today. And I think it was a great quote from Murph just about, yes, we learned a lot today about what we're capable and not capable of doing and what we should and shouldn't be doing. And I think he makes a point about all of that with his players, because it's a long season and it doesn't stop because you win a division title. You still have 10 games yet to play. There's still a lot of work to be done, and you don't want to ruin what you've accomplished. You've done so much, but you're just getting started on the most special time of year. You work your rear ends off for that whole period of time that we're talking about from spring training on to do some special things now. There's the regular season and there's the postseason. And they're learning a lot through this process. For whatever reason, Dom, they needed to go through these last three games of it. They were lackluster performances. I think to a man, they'd all agree on that. But to be able to bounce back, I think they got kind of punched in the mouth today when it was 8-0 in the third inning. And I don't care if you're a veteran or a young guy. Who in the world wants to get punched in the mouth in front of their own crowd in their home ballpark when they know that they're division champs and they've got a lot of work yet to do and they've got a lot of things yet to accomplish? And I think this is what we saw with this comeback here today, top to bottom, pitching to defense to what this offense was able to muster, especially the last two innings.
This team, I'm not going to be a guy that says, oh, you should never boo your team, because sometimes, like, booing sends a message, and I know we're not used to that in this market here in Milwaukee. If, like, this isn't Philly, this isn't New York, this isn't, you know, the Mets, this isn't anything like that, but it's just, like, sometimes, like, okay, hey, wait a minute. Yeah, no, this isn't, we're better than this. And I thought it was brought across the right way, and the Brewers responded to it in the right way. I don't think Brewers fans are going to make that a habit, to say the least, but you can understand why they were feeling the way they were feeling. Real quick, I want to talk about Garrett Mitchell here before we move on to the wild card and what this final week will hold. Garrett Mitchell has been on fire, to say the least, and he is suddenly going to be probably in there every day. I thought that was a clutch base hit off of a lefty that can't be lost sight of what he's done, but now this stretch, as we've talked about multiple times, it's 25 games long now, going back to the Saturday against the Oakland A's. Over these last 25 games, 304 batting average. He's still one dotting it. He's still got an over 1,000 OPS over these games. He's got 13 runs batted in. He went 2-for-2 off the bench today in a game he wasn't even starting. Pulled a single at 111 and then pushed a single at a 102. He's just starting to scratch the surface and get some confidence going of, hey, you were first-round pick for a reason, dude. You've got the tools, and the Brewers are going to be really excited to see what he can do in October.
I don't think there's any question. He is clearly as confident as we've ever seen him in a Brewer uniform. And, yes, he has not had a lot of opportunities because of injuries. But when he came back this season, at the point where he came back, from his latest injury that happened at the beginning of the year and end of spring training, I thought he played tentative. And when players are hurt a lot and they know that they've got a lot to give and they haven't had a lot of opportunities to get there, you can play tentative. And I think that he did for that stretch. But the only way that you can learn and get better are to get the reps. And he made the most of limited reps. And, you know, he played stretches and then didn't, and then played stretches and then didn't. And then now all of a sudden, you know, he's turned a corner. And he does not look like a rookie here right now. He's clearly not playing, you know, tentative baseball whatsoever. So this is a lot of credit to him, too. He's got a lot to overcome. We all know his medical history, but really that to him, and it shouldn't matter at all, and I don't think it does. He's a great athlete, and we're seeing all phases of what he can do on the baseball diamond.
I agree with all of that. I'm excited for Garrett Mitchell. A little over 100 games into his big league career. Just keep him healthy and what he can produce for the Crew. Let's also address the elephant in the room here, Craig. The Brewers still lost 3 out of 4 to the Diamondbacks. They lost the season series last night, so it's a 4-3 advantage for Arizona winning the season series. Doesn't matter for anything playoff-wise, but as things stand right now, depending on what happens with Sunday night baseball tonight, because that one is Phillies and Mets just getting started right now in Queens, as it stands right now, Arizona, if the Mets win tonight, Arizona would be right back here. But if the Mets lose tonight, Arizona would still hold that second spot in the wild card. I think the number one thing we've learned from this week is the Brewers do not want to see Arizona again in a wild card series. They would like to have a little bit more length against them. But still, to be figured out in this final week is who are you going to pitch in that wild card series? Are you going to be a part of keeping the Mets in or out of the postseason? Because remember, the Mets and the Braves meet each other this week. The Braves won tonight, too. They have a 3-game series starting on Tuesday. So the Brewers are going to be in the middle of all this, sort of choosing who their opponent is. They're not going to actually throw games to choose their opponent. But at the same time, there's going to be a lot of scoreboard watching in this final week.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And I think mostly from the Brewers' perspective and in our perspective, you know, knowing ironically how much the current teams they're playing and going to play here to close out, you know, the last 10 days, 2 weeks of the baseball season have nothing to do with the division. It's not a Cubs series. It's not, you know, a St. Louis Cardinals series. It's these teams, Arizona and the Mets, that you could potentially be playing, you know, a day later. Part of me, if we're doing any type of wanton prediction at all here on this Sunday with another full week yet to go, you know, part of me after seeing what unfolded this weekend here in Milwaukee, you know, I agree with a lot of people. You don't want to see this Diamondback team again in the playoffs. But guess what? The Brewers handled them pretty good, taking 2 out of 3 out in Arizona last weekend. You know, quick turnaround here. I think the Diamondbacks got the Brewers at the right time. Basically after the clincher, what happened the next 3 games. And then the Brewers woke up today and said, we're better than this. And they went out and beat them again. So I don't know if you want the Diamondbacks or not. You know, you got the Mets coming in next weekend. Do you want to play them potentially 6 straight games? I don't know. Do you want a fresh team that you haven't seen in ages, like the Braves coming in for that wild card? I don't know. I'm tossed up here right now with a week to go.
I think the Brewers, I don't see themselves, and I'm glad you brought up last week because how quickly we forget. The Brewers, quite frankly, they should have swept the Diamondbacks last weekend.
Boy,
I will straight up say that. They should have swept them.
Last Sunday's game was very much like this Sunday's game.
Exactly.
You know, Brewers
exactly.
Should have won last Sunday. Diamondbacks should have won this Sunday, and look what the result was.
And furthermore, if you're going to catch the Brewers in the worst possible week from the Brewers' perspective, it's this week, right after a clinch, after scheduling your bullpen. You're not going to be the 2 seed. So there's a little bit of, you know, lackadaisical attitude. And to see them rev it back up again is encouraging to say, okay, they are capable of revving it back up. Now, once again, they are going to have to create their own energy in Pittsburgh, a midweek weeknight series in Pittsburgh with rain in the forecast. It is not going to be an easy place to play, not because of the quality of opponent, with all due respect to the Pirates, but because there will be nobody in the stands, it will be rainy, you're going to be fighting rain delays. It is going to be another mental test for this team, but I hope they learn something from today's comeback.
Yeah, I agree. The next 3 days are really going to be something because it's going to be such a 180 from what they have been used to playing really for such a long stretch of time. You know, meaningful games against meaningful teams, you know, big crowds, that type of thing. So, and you know what? You want to accomplish some things. You want to stay fresh. And if you're, you know, you're battling the elements in an empty stadium and the game's scheduled to start and it's not going to be, you know, it could be late night on Tuesday and Wednesday night, who knows? But there's some things left here. They've gone through it before and, you know, they'll be able to handle it. There's no doubt about that. And who knows? Hey, man, if they make a deep playoff run, they have to battle the elements when they go on the road, potentially, depending upon who they play anyway. So bring it on, right?
Yep, I'm excited. Craig Kishon, appreciate your analysis as always, my friend, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, sounds good, Dom. Take care.
All right, I'm way behind on texts here. We're going to go for a little bit past 6:30 here tonight as the Brewers get the win 10-9 and come from behind fashion on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers win 10-9, an all-time classic tonight. I'm Dom Cotroneo, 855-616-1620. A couple of texts here. This one from Casey. I think the most impressive part of this was the no-homers for the Brewers. Hoskins did just miss that one to center, but streaking together base hits, getting timely hitting, working counts, all of it just coming together at the second half of one game. Really could be a moment where we look back on as the Brewers offense if they come out hot in the postseason. This one I thought was interesting when it comes to the disagreement about the booing. Hate to disagree with Skip, but the fans have no reason to boo no matter what happens from here on out. The Brewers have already defied the odds. I'm not disagreeing with that. I think they have absolutely defied the odds, but I think, as Murph alluded to, and I think what fans sense is that the Brewers took their foot off the gas pedal, and fans don't want to see that kind of baseball, and I totally understand. I'm not saying the Brewers knowingly took their foot off the gas pedal, but it's human nature, and it's just like, all right, well, clinch, and there's nothing really to play for in this final league. Let's go through the motions, and they learned can't do that against a quality opponent like the Arizona Diamondbacks. This one, though, made me smile. I would like to send apologies to the team for booing. I realize that people have the right to boo, but it's just not right to boo your team, especially one that has done what the Brewers have done this season. They knew they weren't doing well. Booing wasn't going to help. Pat Murphy pleaded this week for our support. Then they come back scoring four runs in the eighth to take the lead. Fans are just too busy booing the ump. I disagree. It's all good. I think there's a line, and I thought the Brewers fans towed that line very, very well today. It was well received. I think it's all good on the booing front in this one. This text, though, from Ginny and Vernon. Got to see that one in person today with my 85-year-old dad. That's awesome. We love the family moment there. We were pretty crabby at first. Boy, did we need that. Faith restored. Fun stuff. And then finally, this one from Mike in Colorado. Now, that's more like it. They finally got shook off the cobwebs from that division win hangover. Big boost of the victory to go into the playoffs. Nice to see them come back under pressure as well. Listen to every game. The crowd today was the loudest I've heard all season. Fantastic. Go Brewers. It was loud. I mean, I think part of that had to do with the roof being closed today. Shout out to the roof keeping us from a rain delay here. Real quick before we go to break and hear from Pat Murphy, scoreboard watching here as in the National League, another game just went final, and it was a walk-off for the Dodgers. They were down 5-4 in the bottom of the ninth. Shohei Ohtani and Mookie Betts go back-to-back to win the game for the Dodgers. The same day that the Padres also win in the bottom of the eighth inning, scoring three runs to come back against the White Sox. So they remain three games up on San Diego with three games head-to-head remaining, and then L.A. will finish the year in Los Angeles. So it made it a little harder for San Diego to try to snatch the NL West crown from the Dodgers. And again, the Phillies and Mets are about to get going on Sunday Night Baseball. That will clear up some pictures in the wild card race. Want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings is also brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. And right now, and all year long, Sider offers 5% off service for veterans and seniors. Just make sure you mention this offer when you're scheduling your appointment at SEIDER.com. Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Families helping families since 1912. We'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, next on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Man, wow, what a win. Needed it badly. Get yourself up off the deck. Get back onto the bag, as Pat Murphy says, the punching bag. Get back to work. Find your rhythm. Head body. Took a few blows and get back to work after an off day tomorrow. Pat Murphy was an all-timer. This is only like half of how long he talked today, but there's some really good stuff in here today from the skipper. Here is a much happier manager after today's win.
All right. What did we learn? Let me tell you what we learned. We're not good enough after all we've been through and all the injuries and adversity that we faced this year. We've all went through it before. It's old. We're not good enough to take our foot off the gas. And we've done that. We've taken our foot off the gas at times. And it's hard not to when you qualify and you feel like, whoa, we're pretty far away from a bye. And you're playing a really good team that has something to play for. So we learned that. But we also learned that I think this team wants to be the last man standing. You know, they want to be. That's actually a Springsteen song too, but I don't want to make that association. If you're not into Springsteen, don't understand it. Most of you don't. But if you don't, you don't. You're never going to get it. But the team shows today. I mean, the fans came out, and I appreciate the hell out of that. You know, the last 2 days, the fans have come for us, and that means a lot to these guys. But then when they started booing, albeit they should have, you know, they start booing, I think it woke the guys up. Like, hey, man, we have a responsibility. We have taken our foot off the gas, and I think it's the fourth time in franchise history, the first time in 21 seasons that we came back from an 8-0 deficit or more. And so it's a tribute to these guys that maybe they want to be the last man standing. Maybe they want to do it different. They understand that they can't do it the conventional way, that, you know, we don't have a bunch of boppers here and there. We don't have a bunch of, you know, real experienced guys. But maybe they just want to go back to being different and being a team that has done it differently all year at any venue against any team. And maybe they want to be that team. I don't know. It showed signs of it today. I got so much written here on the back of my notes, like two pages of like just what we could have done differently, what, you know, but didn't back up third again. Like, you know, this is like JV baseball. You got to back up third when you're a pitcher when the ball goes in the corner. So didn't do a second time we've not done that. Third time on the season. So those types of things, you know. Guys are reading your pitch out of the glove at second base and relaying the sign. You got to clear that up now. You know, you're in the major leagues. No higher league. This is the highest one. You know, unless they're playing on the moon. I don't know. But in this league, you got to cover that up. Stuff like that, you know.
So, Murph, what did you see that changed, that went from foot off the gas to what we saw there?
I think what we saw is the fans were booing, and one of the top pitchers we have is getting railed. They have his pitches, and everybody's frustrated, and they hear the boos, and they decided, like, we got 5 innings to play. You know, 5.5 innings, 6 innings to play. And I think they said, this isn't going to be us. We're going to give it a go.
You said last night that you guys need to get back to doing what got them here. Is that what you were seeing tonight? Just taking the pitches, taking the walks?
No, the last couple innings for sure. But a little bit. I mean, we left a ton, and we had a lot of situations where we, you know, we made more mistakes. We swung at the wrong pitch. We did a lot of things in the middle of the game that could have made it even closer. You saw it. I mean, we can go through the specific plays, but we had two catchers interference. You know, we didn't barrel a ball for 3 innings. But again, it just goes to show you that when this team gets pushed into a corner, when other people don't believe, when the fans start booing, I'm yelling at the fans saying, come and see us. This team deserves you. It's 2024. It's different than the other teams that went to the playoffs the last 6 years or 6 out of 7, whatever it is. It's different. These were guys that weren't supposed to be there. We don't have Burns and Woody and Hader and et cetera. And you know, fans come out and then they see what they saw in the first 3 innings. You know, they have the right to boo. So,
Murph, was there an AB in there that particularly stands out to you as the one?
Any
of those rallies? In any of those little, you know, you're chipping away. Is there any moment today that you like particularly loved?
Well, I asked Willie if he wanted to come out of the game in the fifth, and he said no. That was a moment that I remember. And he hit 2 doubles after that. Hoskins had 2 below-average ABs and then walk double single. You know, Sal, you saw what Sal did. I think Churio's walk was big. When you see a kid who's not, you know, he had so many electric moments. He hasn't had them in the last 5 or 6 days, and people have pitched him tough. But to take the walks, it's key for us. Mitchell came off the bench, did a heck of a job. There was a bunch of contributors, you know, a bunch. Bowers, you know, he gets a line drive at 405 feet, caught the other night at 100 and whatever, and he gets a swinging bunt. So,
Murph, when the bullpen's just continuing to put up zeros throughout a game.
I say Hoskins at bat. That was the one. The most against Martinez, you know, and it's saying, I'm sorry. I give you guys way too much respect. I'm sorry. I'll be disrespectful for a second.
That's fine.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, that Hoskins at bat, I think, was really cool.
That's what we were talking about earlier. The Hoskins at bat, understanding how this guy's going to attack him. You've seen him a few times the last couple weekends, and that was a big league veteran at bat from Reese Lightning. All right, let's finally relive it. Highlights next here on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Hey, it ain't how you start, it's how you finish. And the Brewers started down 8-0 in the top of the third inning against the D-backs. Frankie Montas was tossed after 2 2/3. In fact, Pat Murphy alluded to the fact that he might have been tipping his pitches in today's game. Nonetheless, the Brewers had their work cut out for them after a 7-run top of the third inning for Arizona. So start chipping away. And the Brewers avoided the shutdown inning in the bottom of the third, a leadoff single for Joey Ortiz. He got to second on a ground out. Jackson Churio had an infield hit. So with men on the corners, Blake Perkins got the rally started.
1-1 pitch. That's a liner into right. It's going to get down for a base hit. Ortiz will score. Churio will stop at second. It's an RBI single for Perkins. Brewers on the board. It's 8-1 Diamondbacks.
That's Lane Grindle's call. And then the Brewers are just keep lingering around. In the fourth inning, a leadoff single from Adames, a walk to Gary, and then it was Sal.
Trend into the wacky category. Here's a liner into right center field. Haven Smith over. It's off of his glove and rolls up against the wall. Off to the races. Go the Crew. Adames around third. He will score. Sanchez stops at third. It's an RBI double for Sal Frelick, and it's an 8-2 ball game.
So with Gary now on third and Ortiz up again, you need to get one deep enough to score Gary. Well, mission accomplished.
2-1 is lifted in the air to right. This is playable for Smith. Comes in, makes the catch. Tagging is Sanchez. He's coming down the line, and he's going to get in there standing up. And the Brewers have played it another run. It's 8-3 Arizona.
And that's a big train coming down the track, so they're halfway home. Okay, it's 8-4 through four innings. The Brewers left two stranded in the fifth. Then in the sixth, the leadoff single for Frelick. Joey Ortiz reached on a fielder's choice, beating out a double play ball, and got to second on a throwing error of a pickoff attempt from reliever Diaz. So top of the order, Jackson Churio making his mark.
Line drive left field, base hit. Ortiz will be sent home, and now a late stop sign. He's running through it. He's safe anyway. Joey Ortiz scores on the base hit by Jackson Churio. Jason Lane sent him and then said, no, hold up. And Ortiz ran right through it.
And meanwhile, during all of this, the Brewers' bullpen was keeping the Diamondbacks off the board and still just lingering, but then things switched to loitering in the seventh. Leadoff single for Garrett Mitchell, who came off the bench in this game. Then it was Reese Hoskins.
3-1 is a drive out to center. McCarthy back at the track. He reaches up. It is off of his glove and then off the wall. Mitchell around 30 will score. It's an RBI double for Hoskins. And the fans are alive at American Family Field. It's 8-5 Diamondbacks.
Two pitches later, keep the parting going with Willie.
0-1 is a drive out towards right center. Back goes Smith. It's over his head and bounces off the track and into the Diamondbacks bullpen. It is a double for Adames, and it's an 8-6 ball game.
But then some adversity hit the Brewers. Adames was thrown out at the plate, Frelick grounded into a double play, and then in the eighth inning, A run comes across for the Diamondbacks against Jared Koenig. So it's 9-6 heading to the bottom of the eighth inning. And the first two outs were dismantled pretty quickly by Joe Mantiply, but a two-out walk by Jackson Churio was just enough to start a rally. Then a two-strike single by Blake Perkins. Runners on first and second. A 3-2 pitch to Garrett Mitchell.
Mantiply ready again. Here's the pitch. Line drive under the glove of Suarez. Churio scores. Perkins to third. They're still breathing in Milwaukee.
That put the tying run aboard, 9-7. Rhys Hoskins, the next batter. They bring in the righty, Justin Martinez, flame-throwing reliever. A heck of a battle that worked to full.
3-2 pitch. Line drive, base hit right center. Perkins is in. Mitchell's in. We are tied.
Then Adames would double to move runners to second and third. Still all of this with two outs. Jake Bowers comes off the bench. He was the hero on Wednesday night. He's the hero on Sunday.
2-2. The pitch. Chopper on the infield. Bowers is going to beat it out, and the Brewers have the lead. Right place, right time, right spot.
And now on this Sunday, the Brewers definitely were going to give the ball to Devin Williams with a man on second and two outs.
One ball, two strikes and two outs on Jose Herrera. At the letters, Williams kicks and throws. Struck him out with a changeup. This game is over. One for the ages for the Milwaukee Brewers.
The one run shy of the largest comeback in Brewers franchise history. 10-9, the final Jeff Levering's call there. The Brewers salvage the finale and get ready to go to Pittsburgh this week. We'll hear from Rhys Hoskins on the other side of the break and get you the out-of-town schedule after this on WTMJ.
I'm on top of the world, eh? I'm on top of the world, eh?
Brewers win 10-9. Off day tomorrow. Happy flight on to Pittsburgh. Three-game series there. Before we talk about that series, I want you to hear the network guys as Jeff and Lane caught up with Rhys Hoskins after he tied the game in the eighth. He had a big day offensively in the second stage of this contest. Here's the first baseman, Rhys Hoskins.
Rhys Hoskins is joining us just outside the Brewers clubhouse. Well, that was a game. I'm not even sure where to start with you on that one. That was that had to feel good for the boys in the clubhouse.
Yeah, the boys needed that, right? Look, we faced some good pitching. We've obviously found ourselves in a little rut these last couple days. That's usually not a good combo. But to win a game like that, kind of like we kind of have been all year, not really out of games, you find a way to come back. You put pressure on teams, and you give yourself a chance at the end of the game. And, you know, we've come through a lot. So it's nice to come through for the boys, get us back on the right side of the win column, and we'll see if we can, you know, ride this momentum into Pittsburgh here.
I know nobody wants to say, hey, there can be a little bit of a letdown or emotionally like guard down a little bit after you clinch the division, but I think inevitably it's hard to fight that and have that same edge in the immediate aftermath. Maybe it takes something like this to kind of just turn that page now and go back to playing Brewers baseball, right?
I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right. It's a multitude of things, right? And, of course, that has to be one of them. One of them is we're playing a great team over there in Arizona,
yeah.
And they obviously are playing for – you know, they're still trying to determine if they're going to be in the playoffs or what seed they're going to be. So, yeah, look, we created some chaos out there. We had really, really grindy at bats, from about the third inning on. And obviously we can talk as much as we want about the bullpen keeping us in the game. But, those are the types of things that we've done well all year. And that's why we've won as much as we have.
Rhys, you had a very effective day again today at the plate. You were right in the middle of the seventh and eighth innings with the RBI double, the two-run single to help lead the charge on this comeback. But I want to go back to last night. You have a 15-pitch at-bat. It ends in a strikeout. But that's still, I have to think for you internally, a good sign that you're seeing the baseball well. And you're right there, and you're starting to get things going. Because it feels like your at-bats in the last couple of weeks have been really quality.
Yeah, I would agree with that, right? I think the better that I see the ball, the better I'm generally going to be getting myself into good counts. I've always said that if I can make the pitcher beat me within the strike zone, generally I'm going to take a chance there and bet on myself. Like you said, 15 pitch at bat. Of course, it's disappointing to end in an out. But the more chances you get to see the baseball, I think the better you are at the end of the day. So we'll see if we can keep it rolling. Just got to continue to have good at-bats. As long as you get to walk up to that white box next to that oddly shaped white thing, you got a chance to do something special. So,
well, Reese, enjoy this one. I mean, this is going to be one of the games you guys remember from the regular season. When the season's all said and done and you look back on it, this is going to be one of those really satisfying wins, and you guys earned every bit of it today, never giving up. That's kind of been the mantra of this team from day one. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Go Brews.
You bet. Reese Hoskins
joining the guys earlier tonight after the victory. All right, so let's wrap things up here on the program now. Off day tomorrow. Exhale. I tell you what, after 13 in a row and all 13 of those felt dramatic in some way, shape, or form, let's all take a breather tomorrow. And then on to Pittsburgh. Three games remaining with the Buccos. First pitch for Tuesday and Wednesday are scheduled for 5:40. I'll be with you for post-game show on Wednesday. It'll be Bob Brainerd on Tuesday. And then on Thursday, it is donuts and coffee for Brewers and Bucks. It is 11:35 a.m. first pitch scheduled against the Pirates. Then they're back home for the Mets. 7:10 on Friday, 6:15 on Saturday, and 2:10 on Sunday, because everybody plays at the same time on the final day of the season. And real quick, checking on the Phils and the Mets. The Phillies have jumped out to a 1-0 lead. An RBI from Alec Boehm to score Trey Turner in the first. That pitching matchup is Tyler McGill and Zach Wheeler. My thanks to producer Evan Witalison. I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.